Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. We are continuing our new series on Wednesday evenings, Brave, Living Fearlessly, and tonight's message is titled, Be a Giant Slayer, Part 2. How many of you ever watch America's Got Talent? Y'all ever seen that? My mom likes that show, so sometimes she lives with me, so sometimes I watch it with her. But I was watching in June of 2019, and there was a young man with a guitar who started to sing. But Simon, who can be, he's one of the judges, and he can be a little brash in the way that he speaks to people, or being brash is a nice way of saying that sometimes he's kind of strong and oftentimes rude. But he stopped him, and he told him that he was singing a safe wedding song, and asked if he had another song. So the young man was flustered by his interruption and told him what the second song was that he had. And Simon told him, no, that's the same kind of song. It's too safe. So he said, go away, find a bolder song choice, and come back later. And at first, the young man didn't want to do it, but eventually he complied, and he came back a few hours later with a bolder song choice and a much better performance. And he got all four judges to vote yes for him to go through to the next round. But Simon told him, you know what your problem is? You are afraid. You are afraid of failure, and so you're all bound up when you sing. Simon was telling him, you won't be able to advance. You won't be able to fulfill your dream as long as you are bound by fear. And did you know that the fear of failure is listed among the top 10 most common fears? And it's listed right alongside the worst fears that humans have. Do you know what the worst fears that humans have are? The fear of death and the fear of public speaking. Those are the top fears. You know, people don't like to be up here. I don't like to be up here. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be up here, you know. But interestingly, psychologists say that all human beings are born with just two basic fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. All other fears, they say, are learned, most of them, by age 6. And we develop our fears through our own experience and from the behavior of others. So, for instance, we are not naturally afraid of spiders. But if as a young child, our mother screams when she sees a spider, guess what? We learn to be afraid of spiders, all right? But one of the chief fears that torments the majority of people is the fear of failure, just like that young man on America's Got Talent. And it is a learned fear. And fear of failure has many root causes. It could develop from an overly critical or unsupportive parent, being regularly undermined or humiliated as a child, or it could come from a traumatic experience where you attempted something publicly and you failed, such as a presentation at work, or a presentation at school that went poorly. Fear of failure has been defined as allowing fear to stop you from doing the things that can move you forward to achieve your goals. And it is something that almost all of us have experienced at some point in time in our lives. And even great men and women of God are not exempt from the fear of failure. Read with me, if you will, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The scripture says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all of the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one. You are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, Moses, who had led the people for 40 years through the wilderness, is now dead. He had been a long-term leader, the only leader the Israelites knew after leaving Egypt. And now Moses is dead, and God is calling Joshua to step into his destiny to lead the people of Israel up into the promised land. But God knows us inside and out, and he knew that Joshua was struggling with fear, the fear of failure. And three times God encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous. And a fourth time he says, do not be afraid or discouraged. So God obviously knew that Joshua was struggling with fear, and that's why he speaks to that fear four times in this passage of scripture. And as we look at the fear of failure from this experience in Joshua's life, I pray that God will reveal to you if you are allowing a fear of failure to hold you back, and I pray that you will refuse to be ruled by fear, and that you will choose instead to walk by faith. The only way you'll be able to fulfill your God-given destiny is to allow faith to conquer your fear. And the first principle that we see in this experience of Joshua is that when you allow the fear of failure to keep you from trying, you fail. When you allow the fear of failure to keep you from trying, you fail. And you know, past failure can keep us bound by the fear of failure. 40 years earlier, if you remember, the Israelites failed to go up and possess the land. They refused to go up into the promised land because it was filled, they said, with giants and walled cities. And they concluded, we cannot go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they allowed fear to rule them, and they failed to go up and possess the promised land. Originally, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 spies that Moses had sent into the land that said, don't be afraid. God is with us. If we obey him, he will give the land to us. But the people refused to listen to Joshua and Caleb. Instead, they listened to the 10 spies that brought a report of fear into the camp. And they even came to the point where they complained against Moses and they wanted to stone Moses and Joshua and Caleb to death, but God intervened. The people chose the fear of failure over faith, and as a result, what happened? They ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and that generation never fulfilled the destiny of God for their lives to possess the promised land. So Joshua had once been filled with faith, but after that traumatic experience of trying to lead the people to obey the Lord in faith and possess the promised land, he is now struggling with fear and discouragement, struggling with the fear of failure. You see, past failures and traumatic experiences and having critical and unsupportive people around us, like the people of Israel were that day when they refused to go up into the promised land and they began to complain and criticize Moses and the leaders that wanted to go up into the land and they were ready to stone them. Experiences like that are traumatic. When we have critical and unsupportive people around us, it can fill us with the fear of failure. And it's hard when you have failed to get up and get back in the game and try again. You know, last week in the message, I mentioned Lihana Walenda and her tight wire walk over in New York City after a traumatic fall that almost killed her, put her in a coma, shattered every bone in her face, and required 10 plates and 72 screws to repair. But she said she felt she had to get back up on that wire to conquer her fear. And the Walendas are Christians, and the entire time that she was walking that wire high above New York City, you could hear her over the microphone praying and praising God. And when she finished this great New York City feat, she said, "That fear is gone. I am not afraid of fear. Fear will not conquer me." And by getting back up on that wire and walking in faith, literally walking in faith, because you would have to have a lot of faith to be walking at that height, she overcame her fear. I love a quote by Nick and Liana's mother, Delilah, who is also an aerialist, and she said, "We have had many tragedies in our family, but we always show the world that we get back up again." You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16 that the righteous man or the godly man may fall 7 times, but what? They get back up again. So every time you fall, you get back up again. We must refuse to allow past failures to keep us down, and we must choose to get up by faith and try as many times as is necessary in order to succeed. Another reason that we can be controlled by the fear of failure is that people we compare ourselves to can make us feel inadequate. People we compare ourselves to can make us feel inadequate. Joshua was allowing a long-term, powerful, prophetic, beloved leader, well, at least beloved when he was leading the people where they wanted to go. But Joshua was in many ways thinking, man, these are big shoes to step into. Moses, this great prophetic leader, this deliverer. I'm succeeding a legend who had led the people of Israel out of Egypt with all of these mighty miracles and the parting of the Red Sea. Those were big shoes to fill, and that alone can be intimidating. And it's a good thing that Joshua felt inadequate in a way, because that is what keeps us dependent on God, right? When we know we can't do something ourselves, it forces us to depend on God. I love what the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 31. God doesn't call the qualified. In fact, the Bible tells us he calls the weak and the insignificant things of this world to confound the wise and powerful, so that when anything gets accomplished, he gets all the glory. Amen? So if God is calling you to do something and you feel weak, you feel inadequate, you feel unable to do it, you are just the person God wants, because you'll have to depend on him to do it. God doesn't call people that are self-confident. You know why? Because then they're going to do whatever they do in their own strength and power, and they're going to claim all the glory for it. So if you feel weak, you feel inadequate, you know what? You're just the person that God is calling. And in verse 2 of Joshua 1, God says, "Moses is dead." Look, don't compare yourself with Moses. Moses is dead. And then 2 times in verse 2 and again in verse 6, God says to Joshua, "You are the one to lead this people into the land I have promised them. You are the one that I've chosen. You are the one that I have called." God says, "I have called you to do this." And let me tell you something, when God calls you to do something, God doesn't make mistakes. Amen? God doesn't make mistakes. God, as it's often said, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Amen? He is the one that will be our sufficiency. He will enable us to succeed in doing all that he calls us to do. And God is calling each and every person listening to this message tonight to do something for his kingdom. And we may not feel like we can do it. That's okay, because that's what will force us to depend upon him. The only way, however, that we can fulfill our destiny is by choosing not to be ruled by fear, but choosing to walk by faith. Something else that can keep us bound by the fear of failure is perceptions about the challenges that we face. Perceptions about the challenges that we face. A generation earlier than Joshua, 40 years before, listened to the report of 10 spies who said, "We even saw giants in the land, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. How did they know what those people were thinking? It was their own perception of themselves, and then they were projecting that onto what their enemies thought. And so their perception of their enemy and of themselves defeated them before they even tried. Their fear of failure made them unwilling to even attempt to possess the promised land. A famous author wrote, "It's impossible to live without failing. Unless you live so cautiously that you might as well have not lived at all, in which case you have failed by default." If you never try, you've failed already. You failed by default. So if we allow fear of failure to stop us, then we have failed by default, and it has robbed us of the life and the purpose that God desires for each and every one of us. A second principle that we learn is when you overcome the fear of failure to try again, you are on the path to success. When you overcome the fear of failure to try again, you're on the path to success. Summer Redstone said, "Great success is built on failure." Thomas Edison's teacher once said he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. As an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. And when a reporter asked, "How did it feel to fail 1,000 times?" Edison replied, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps." You see, our failures are steps to our success, because each time, if we learn something, then we are still progressing towards our success. Israel had failed to go up and possess the promised land 40 years earlier, but now Joshua had to refuse to be ruled by the fear of failure and choose by faith to obey God and try again. And to help Joshua conquer his fear, God gives him and us several promises. First of all, God promises to fulfill his word. If God has spoken it, God is going to do it. In verse 3, he says, "I promise you what I promised Moses." God reminds Joshua that he is faithful to keep his promises. There is not one promise of God that will fail. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, "Your promises are backed by all the honor of your name." Other versions translate that verse saying, "God honors his word above his name." Now, in the Hebrew mindset, a person's name represented their reputation and their authority. So the meaning of this verse is twofold. When God makes a promise, his name, his reputation is on the line. So he is not going to break that promise and dishonor his name. Secondly, God's name holds authority to back up his promises. And since he has all authority, his promises cannot fail. And that's why we can be confident that he is a promise-keeping God. And Joshua needed to know this because the task that was before him was a daunting task that seemed impossible. And Joshua needed to be reminded that God is a promise-keeping God. Many things that God calls us to do will be difficult, challenging, and even seem impossible. But if God has promised to do something, you can count on it being done. God's promises do not change. He said, "I promise you what I promised Moses." Let me tell you something. God may have made promises 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, but his promises do not change. Amen. His promises are to us as well. What he promised to one generation, he promises to next. What he promised to Moses, he promised to Joshua. God's promises do not change. And every promise that God has given us is ours through faith in Christ. The Bible says that all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. I remember shortly after I accepted the opportunity to plant this church, I was driving down Northeast 6th Avenue and 163rd Street in Miami. And, you know, we were just in the formative stages of laying the groundwork to plant the church, and a fear gripped my heart. I knew God was calling me to do this. And if I had time, I would share the many ways in which he confirmed his will. But I had been an associate pastor for 6.5 years, but thoughts filled my heart saying, you don't know anything about planting a church. You don't know anything about being a senior pastor. You don't know about leading a church. You're going to fail. And I just started praying in the spirit because I knew that that was an attack of the enemy, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. So here I am driving in my little Hyundai down Northeast 6th Avenue, and I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And as I'm praying in the spirit, I sense the Lord say to me, I have called you to do this. And because I have called you, the success will be of me. Your success is guaranteed. Hallelujah. I can remember it as if it was yesterday that God spoke that to me. And there have been many challenges along the way, and it has been difficult at times, but I have to refuse to allow fear to rule my heart and choose to walk by faith. I have to trust that God will honor that promise he gave me, as he has done and as he will continue to do. One of the first things God spoke to me is that we would have 200 people in our first year. And everybody else, you know, district leaders, other ministers were saying, you know, that, you know, it's nice to have dreams, but it doesn't work that way. You're lucky if you get 50 people your first year. But let me tell you something. We were running more than 200 people in our first year because God honors what he has spoken to you. Amen. And then another way that God has honored his promise is that after we had purchased the land and finished the horizontal phase of construction, the very month that the construction note converted from interest-only construction loan to a regular loan where we would have to pay principal and interest, we were notified of an inheritance that was given to the church of over $850,000 that enabled us to greatly reduce our debt. And of course, now that is paid off. But these are just some of the ways that God has just shown up to do things to honor his promises. And I'm so glad that I chose to step out in faith, because that's why there is a thriving church here today. That's why countless lives have been saved and healed and restored. Amen. Whatever God is calling you to do, refuse to allow the fear of failure to rule your heart and choose to walk by faith, because God will fulfill all that he has spoken to you. Amen. And God promises us that if we will honor him, if we'll obey him, he will give us good success in everything we do. God told Joshua twice in verses 7 and 8 that if he would study the book of instructions that Moses had given him, that would be the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, if he would meditate on it day and night and be careful to obey all of it, then he would have good success and he would prosper in all that he did. You see, God's word is an instruction manual for life. And if we follow it, he says we will have good success. The King James Version says good success, because not all success is good success. You can succeed at something, but if it draws you away from God, or it some way harms your marriage or your relationship, you know, with your wife or your family, then that's not good success. If it harms your health, that's not good success, right? And so God promises to give us good success and that we will prosper or thrive in all that we do. You know, sometimes I buy something and I try to assemble it without reading the instructions. Have you ever done that? Amen. Because, you know, I pick it up and I say, well, you know, I can do this. And then somewhere along the line, something doesn't work quite right and I have to go back to the instructions. And sometimes I even have to disassemble and then reassemble in order to do it right. But if I had just read and followed the instructions to begin with, I would have succeeded without the setbacks and without the headaches of my mistakes. And this is what God wants us to do. If we will live a God-honoring life of carefully studying his word and walking in obedience to his principles, God promises that he will give us good success and we will prosper in all that we do. Amen? And God also promises us his empowering presence. God reminded Joshua that what made Moses successful was not Moses. What made Moses successful was not Moses, but it was the fact that God had been with Moses. And he said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And because I'm with you, no enemy will be able to stand against you. God has a special plan for each of our lives as well. God is calling each of us to do something that is bigger than who we are, and he's calling us to trust him, that if we step out in faith, he will be with us. He wants us to know that the same God who was with Moses, he wants us to know that the same God who was with Joshua is with us, and that no enemy will stand against us. You know why I know that message is for us? Because he tells Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that same promise is repeated to us in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 13, where it says, God says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The same God who was with Moses, the same God who was with Joshua, is the same God who is with us. And if we will trust him and walk in faith, he will guarantee good success and that we will prosper in all that we do. You know, sometimes we may feel like grasshoppers in comparison to the giants that we are facing. And maybe you've been allowing the fear of failure to keep you from going after the things that God has promised you. Maybe you've tried and failed, and it's keeping you from trying again. But God is saying, rise up in faith and try again. If he has called you to do it, he will be with you. The Bible says, faithful is he who has called you, who also will do it. And as we carefully obey him and do what he's calling us to do in all areas of our life, he guarantees that he will give us good success and that we will prosper in all that we do. Would you bow your heads with me? And if you struggle with the fear of failure, would you surrender that to him tonight and say, God, break that chain over my life. I don't want to be ruled by the fear of failure any longer, because you have not given me a spirit of fear. But I want to be able to walk in the freedom of faith to do all that you're calling me to do. Would you just talk to God right now? If you struggle with the fear of failure, and surrender it to him. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you because faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. And Father, I pray that as we've heard this message tonight, that it would cause faith to rise up in our heart, Lord God. Father, as we stand before you tonight, Lord, we surrender to you, Lord, any fear, especially the fear of failure, that is holding us back from walking in the fullness of what you want for us and what you're calling us to do, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would break fear's control over our life, because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, Father, I pray right now that we would have confidence in your power to accomplish all that you're calling us to do. I pray that we would trust in your love for us, Lord God, that you are with us, that you care for us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that our mind would be trained to focus upon you and not the giants that are before us, Lord God. Father, that we might walk in faith, that we might conquer the giants that are before us, Lord God, and that we may possess the land, the calling, the purpose that you have for us, Lord God, so that your will can be accomplished and your name glorified, O God. Father, do this work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us tonight, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. We love you, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you